seem to be back. And the last time I was here, I was leading a youth group. And now I'm leading a church. Isn't that
ironic? It's ironic.
Oh, it's like incredible. These ways are our ways. So I want to encourage you. You've been serving for a long time. And maybe asking God, God, when is it my time? Keep serving faithfully where you are. And don't be in a rush. Trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. You can trust his faithfulness. And so it's been quite a while, since the last time that I was here. And never ever thought that I would kind of say goodbye to the youth ministry, and then it just happened. And God said, just on one day, so you might be here today faithfully serving. I would encourage you, keep on serving. If you're not serving faithfully yet, may the Holy Spirit convict you and empower you to become faithful and serve well and serve with all of your heart. And maybe look at things in an eternal perspective, and just knowing that in this beautiful school, in 100 years' time, might be there with a grill. You might be driving a nice car, stands outside, beautiful, maybe a number plate, has your name on it. And but just know, in 100 years, it's on a rubbish heap somewhere else, and Jesus hasn't come back here. And so, if we look at things in an eternal perspective, and the things that we dream about, the things that we do, the way we pour out our lives, looks much different. Just do for the temporary, for the temporary pleasure, and for what I can do out of it. But I would love to encourage you guys and support you. And we are one. We are just up the road, even if we're far away, we still one body, and just meeting different locations. So, as one of the elders in Joshua, I want to encourage you guys to lay down your lives. It's a great joy. And even Jesus said that for the joy that was set before him. So there's definitely a joy in serving the Lord. And of course the joy of the Lord becomes our strength when we can pursue the things of God. So lay down your life, make your life count, whatever it is, be faithful where you are. And so that's what just a bit of background from where I come from with the youth. And I ended up in Wellington. Never thought I'll be there. Actually the first time when Andrew spoke to me, he said, Conrad, will you go and meet the congregation in Wellington? I said, I don't think I'm going to have a job. And I looked at my own frailties, I looked at my own shortfalls, and also my own passions. And I've been passionate about the youth and loving these guys. I never saw the need saying goodbye to these guys. It was like impossible for me to say goodbye. But the Lord really worked with my heart. And then we embarked on this great journey of going to Wellington. It's back up in comments. So even the first day I walked in there, and on the opening it says Belcom, like welcome in Afrikaans. And I was like, it feels like I'm in heaven. It's like everything is up in comments. It's amazing. He said, you know, we worship and just seeing how the Holy Spirit is working, it's a beautiful thing. Actually, I'm share with us today about the Lord open our eyes. And I feel for where we are right now as a movement of churches, and that is for us to see what the Lord is doing. Because it's so easy even to miss him in these times, that we can get so busy with our own lives, with our own things, and I know life is busy. We're raising 3 kids, we homeschool them, it's just busy, and having making sure your marriage is intact. You know, just getting by, and having these romantic times, and with my kids cycling after church in the evening, we cycle up hills and down valleys and stuff to get home, and playing soccer, and taking my daughter out for dates, and so life is busy with all that stuff, and deciding and laying my down the cross. But to see what the Lord has done in this last while is really mind-blowing. And one of the things that I've experienced in Wellington was there was a great need. One of the girls, or one of the ladies in our congregation, she applied for jobs, she couldn't get a said, guys, one of our family is in need, can we all jump in? Let's all be a part of the solution. And I've been humbled. Now, we're not as big as you guys, but I'm telling you, the generosity. So I can imagine even more generosity over here this morning when someone mentioned the gentleman. And I can just imagine when his testimony was shared, I just thought of the lady in our congregation where suddenly this lady was at the end. It's like, there's no rent, I must pay rent, there's nothing. And somebody says, congregation, we're going to get behind you. And suddenly you can see what the Lord is doing. And then there was so much money that came in that her studies are starting to be paid. Or someone heard in our congregation that she's not studying this year because of finances. And suddenly, finances come starting to come loose for her to study next year. And I was like, whoa, we just want to pay the rent. And now it's gone further than that. And so I think we need to be willing to see what God is doing. I've seen also the prayer and the prayer of the saints. I've seen them at 5:30 on a Monday morning. We've had church on Sunday night, 5:30 Monday morning. The guys are in our house and they pray. And they see God's face and they're humming for Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now there's a scripture in John chapter 12. We'll start with that. John 12:37. And it reads as follows, John 12:37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still do not believe in him. And it is possible for us to miss what Jesus is doing, even right now. I remember being at school and the Holy Spirit was poured out radically. But we were so involved with everything that was happening around us. When we look back, we actually saw like we were living in revival. Literally, demons were screaming out in the corridors as we changed class. Miracles were taking place. Guys were getting saved. Miracles were happening. And when you need it, you don't always see it. And even here, like it says here, even after Jesus done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe. And it is possible for us to see what God is doing in us. And just carry on. And I've heard this one guy said, it was actually such a sad statement. He said, maybe one Sunday, you know, Jesus come and he's returned and the church has got to be with him. And then Sunday morning, guys come and knock on the door of the church and they are upset that the caretaker or the person in charge who's on duty did not open the church. And they're upset. But what they did not know is that actually Jesus came to take his bride and they didn't go with him. They saw what he was doing. They just went on in the street because even a dead fish can swim downstream. Very easy. But it takes some, like that salmon who has something inside him that he swims upstream. And the world is pushing this way. So it has to recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing and come with him. My question to us is, what is the Holy Spirit doing here? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? And are we flowing with it? Are we yielding to that? Are we yielding to that? A few times this morning that has come up is that just in various ways, in various words, for us to look back in our lives to the King and not be so comfortable, because that's how you actually must fry a frog. Heard the saying, you know, I'm a fried frog, putting cold water on the stove, and I don't suggest you try this at home. But, you know, the frog is in there, and then he swims around, he's in his comfort zone, and then you heat it up, and then just fries. He just is comfortable, he just fries. Whatever happens inside, and he's trying. But the thing is, and that is our society, and that is if you don't recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing, then we can miss a beautiful thing. And again, I'm going to pose a question. What is the Holy Spirit doing in this house right now at this time? And are you positioning yourself to flow with it? Are you saying, Lord, I want to do, I want to run with you. I want to do what's on your heart. And there's great, great joy when I say to my family, you know, we've got three kids, and guys, how about we have ice cream? Let's go to Pick and Play later with those Battle Pops. We're going to go to Pick and Play, we're going to get some Battle Pops, and we're going to go do this. And then Amanda says, no, Dad, I would have to go to a coffee shop. Battle Pop, Dad. I'm like, almost 15, you know, I'm like, Battle Pops is like for my little brothers. And then my son said, I want to go ride bicycle. I want to see Dad, I want to go play soccer. And my wife says, no, I just want to read. I'm like, come on. Sit outside a coffee shop with your book and kick the ball, hoping you're not better off. You do anything, but let's move together. And it's so lacking when it's time for us to go to the car. And we dream. That's what the good boss said. We just drove from the lights, we're on the way to see it, and we're just going to dream. One of our children fell asleep, and the rest of us, the other of us, we're just dreaming. All of us are on the same page. And we're a church to be on the same page. All of you. On the same page, it's a glorious thing. We're running in the same direction. Matthew chapter 25, that is the main portion of scripture this morning. I'm not going to read the whole Matthew chapter 25, but it's a parable that Jesus tells after he's spoken to them in Matthew chapter 24 about the signs of the times when the disciples ask Jesus when he'll be coming back, and then Jesus says these things must happen before I return. So Matthew chapter 24 is very practical. Jesus starts off and says, in verse 2, do you see all these things? And he carries on to the place and says, watch therefore. So Jesus wants us to be awake and be watching. And we need to be aware of what he is doing. And it's very important because, like I said, you can miss what he's doing. In this parable that Jesus is speaking about in Matthew chapter 25, we go right to the end of it. We look at the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. If you go and read them, you'll see things like the five foolish virgins. They bought the lamps, but they didn't bought oil. They didn't bring oil. But the wise ones, they bought their lamps and passed it with oil. And Jesus speaks there by his return, ready for when the bridegroom comes. And in verse 13, he says, therefore keep watch. Now, it's not a passive thing. It's not like a thing where you just stay up in the sky and just watch kind of thing. But there is something. I don't know if you've seen the people outside the airport, that they park at the airport and they wait for their loved ones. And then normally, because they are there much earlier, they can't go and park because they get changed. They have a certain amount of time to park there. So they wait outside. But man, when that airplane comes in and they know Papa comes on the Cougar airplane, they really believe that flips it flies across the sky and they see their hearts pound and they're excited because Papa's coming. Papa is almost here. And man, and then Mama can start that car, they can go walk to the car because they know Papa's almost here. Dad is almost as excited. And so Jesus speaks in Matthew 24 and he says, when you look, you see signs, you know that we're coming soon. So we need to be vigilant, we need to be buckled, and then be ready for the return of Jesus. Not just staring at things, you hear stuff on the news, you hear about rumors of wars, you hear about wars, you hear about famines and earthquakes, and we just let us keep on. Jesus is excited. My return is at hand. But the same thing is as we need to discern, keep watch for his return. So we need to keep watch for what he's doing. Because before he comes, he wants to move mighty. He wants to bring that final harvest. Are we positioning ourselves to be part of for the harvest to come inside? Now, when we see, there needs to be a response. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 9. It's the story of probably the Apostle Paul's conversion. And I want to pick up from verse 17. We'll read together from 17 to 19. I'm reading in the NIV. Now, Ananias went to the house of Peter. Sorry, just pause there. Now, Saul was on his way to persecute the church. And he was angry at the church. He wanted, you know, these guys they're sick, they're a nuisance, they're causing hassle. He wanted to go and silence the church. So he's on his way to Damascus, he's going to, you know, he's going to cause some problems. And then Jesus met him on the way. And also he came behind. And fell to the ground. And they took him in, the guys with him, they took him in. And from verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered. God spoke. pray for Paul. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking in some food, he regained his strength. But something that happened after Paul could see, he got up and he got baptized. So there's something for us to do. We see, recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing, and this should be an action. It shouldn't be like, okay, the Lord is moving, that is wonderful, but it's now, just like Saul got up, and he went and got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and got baptized. And as we recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing, let's join our hearts in that. Let's lay down our lives. We must refuse to live a normal life, a life of complacency, a life just of just going through the motions. But we must say, Lord, there's more in you. You're a big God. You're a wild God. Have you ever read the book Wild at Heart? And I love it how he says it in the book. He says that when man plants a garden in a forest, you can see them all like straight lines. But when God plants a forest, it's wild. It's just anywhere. And that is our God. And our God wants us to live a life like radically devoted to Him, totally sold out to Him. And see what He is doing and follow what He is doing. And then there will be a response when we see what God is doing. In Matthew chapter 2, another response that we see. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. What did these guys do? These wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, like Magi, like the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship." They saw his star and came to worship. So for us to see again the question, what is God doing in our hearts? God is definitely in nations. What I can see, I'm going to just hear some of the chats before the service, just of hearts for the nations. What God is doing. Came out in prayers. Pray for those guys going out. Those guys in Zambia right now. Those guys in Lagos and Sioux in Malawi. And you think of the guys in Kimberley, the guys in Michigan. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been to the nations, go for it. It will change your life forever. I remember one of the, I love about it, and it was a bit hard for me. I went to Namibia. And on an outreach, I was, and the first time was radical, and I got to go the second time for 4:12. And then on the pamphlet, they said, "Conrad is going to preach at 4:12. So I got so excited. Your eye called my parents and said, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to preach." Even on the papyri, it says my name. It's amazing, you know? And like, you know, it says like Andrew, Yosemite, and Lynn, Basil, and Conrad Foster. I'm up with the hood in the area. And so I go there and ready to pour into the church. And so the first week he comes and Andrew says, "Okay, what do you have in your mind? What do you have in your mind?" He asked all of us and he says, "I think they preach first and put the mind the next service." Okay, Andrew preaching, next one, that one preaching. I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's coming. Put one service there. Okay, well, man, we're going to end up on a bad. We're going to end up on a bad cat. I'm ready for this." And then the Lord said, "Great, I'll take it." And my heart was like, "Oh, my name was on the papyrus." It says, even above that, it says, I think it said guest speakers or something like that. And then I didn't feel like a guest. Then I felt like a guest. But I don't know. So even in the midst of the heavy violence, I was certainly mine was just hearing what God has done, about limiting you to what He has done. And I just would love to share a little bit of the Azusa Street Revival. I don't know if you've heard about the Azusa Street Revival. It was amazing. And so there was a guy called William Seymour, but it was amazing. I always, it's my own personal joke that I laugh about. His name was, his surname was Seymour, but he was actually blind in one eye, so actually see less. And saw less because that was, William Seymour. But William Seymour, he was a black guy, and he was in those days, they weren't allowed, black people weren't allowed in church. That was sad to say. So what would happen is, William would go to Bible college, and they'd open the door for him, so he could sit outside on the stoop, and he'll make notes with a little bit of light shining through, and he was not allowed to be inside. And so the Lord stirred William's heart, and then a church across from him heard about him, and they said, please come and minister, please come and pastor this church. He was so excited that Sunday morning he was at church and he preached his first sermon and he said, God, I see you tonight. I feel like this group is going to be. The night he came to church, he had a lot of problems. And he was so disappointed. And some of the people arrived there and saw the church was locked. And they thought, no, this black preacher is not the guy in the church. So the one lady said, why don't you come to my house and let's pray and share it. So they went to his house and they started praying and sharing, and the Holy Spirit started. Powerful. Night after night, people will come and they will stand and look through the window to see what is happening. At one stage, actually, the little porch of the stoop of the house came in. It was a brilliant house. It was all the people on the stoop. So they said, well, we need to move. So they could find a horse stable just down the road. And people, I think people live upstairs and downstairs with the horses, and it was in a street called Azusa Street. And so they rocked up there. And this preacher, the passion for Jesus, a heart for people, started preaching the gospel. And the Holy Spirit started moving. Miracles started happening. Blind eyes saw. People were singing tongues, and they would say, it is like angels singing. People will hear, as people are speaking in tongues, people from other nations will come to see what God is doing, and they will hear their burden of a salvation message preached in their own language. Russian, very concert, they hear the gospel being preached in their own mother tongue. Now, I know that maybe sounds weird, but it has happened to me. I've read about this, and I thought, this is quite incredible. So I'm in a prayer meeting one day, and I'm praying, and I look my hands, I'm praying in tongues, and I open my eye, and this guy is like looking at me, wanting to almost like respond to what I'm saying, and like, you know, this praying, but we carry on praying. After the prayer meeting, he says, can you speak, or you speak Portuguese? Are you over Portuguese? He said, and I'm like, nothing in Portuguese. Those I speak in Portuguese. The corner shop down the road, that's close. And he said, you spoke to me in Portuguese. And I wanted to respond, but it was pre-meeting. And I said, oh, so that's what it was about. Because I saw he's kind of wanting to say something, but it was a bit weird. I was thinking, he doesn't want to interrupt me. But it was incredible. So this was starting to happen. And they just went with the Holy Spirit. And it became an amazing journey. And my heart is burning, my spirit, my spirit is yearning for revival. My spirit is yearning for us to do church, and like we are doing church wonderfully, but I desire for the Holy Spirit to break out in such a way that will really revolutionize our thinking, the way we do stuff, the way we prioritize stuff, everything. The Holy Spirit will come, He is here, but I desire the Holy Spirit will I love having people. I love meeting people. I love having people. I just love it. So if I had to come to Wellington PM and they say to me, and my fellow elder man says to me, or the deacons come to me and say, come there, those hugging hands, they don't welcome. And that friendliness and that exuberance, you want to be with people, please join, please come here. I will be there if I want. I wish I could gather you like the hen gathers No, that's how I feel. I can't do that. I can't wait. I just can't wait to come here. It's like it's just there. And if I cannot just sit there and just look at everything you do, I will need it. But I will be so good. And I will be so good. Just what you want, just what you desire. And that we can give him the place. And that we will not bring those he wants to do. Do we have eyes to see? See what the Lord is doing by the world. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story of Elisha when they were surrounded. Now it's an incredible story of Elisha. Every time the enemy wanted to capture Israel, then Elisha would go to the king and say, "King, don't go there because they're waiting in ambush. Don't go there. It happens over and over and over." After a while, this king got so upset. Not the king from Israel. What is this king? Let's quickly just go there. It's in 2 Kings. So we did this. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we did this. The nation he was from again. Aram. Yeah, so the king of Aram, he was so upset, he said to his officials, "Guys, who of you guys are betraying us? Who of you guys are going to Israel and telling them exactly where we are waiting in ambush every single time?" And they said, "Dear king, it's actually none of us. It's that prophet, Elisha." He actually tells the king, his king, the king of Israel, what we say in your bedroom. That is how accurate this is. So this king says, Where is Elijah? So they went by now and they surrounded that city of Elijah. And it says early in the morning, the servant of Elijah came out. Maybe went to the long road, I don't know what, whatever, but he came out of the house and suddenly he sees. Wow. He sees all the armies in the camp, all around the city. And he runs into Elijah and says, "Elijah, we surrounded, the enemy's here, they're going to take us out." And then Elijah says, verse 16, it says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And that's our prayer, that's my prayer for this morning. Lord, open our eyes so we can see. Open our eyes so we can see. A couple of weeks ago, I could see the Lord wanted us to speak about that. You see, some of the visitors that come in, they come from a similar background as me, a religious background, and come to Jesus, and now what's the next step? It's like, I want to be obedient to baptism. And I just couldn't see it. It's hungry for baptism. So you see, there's baptism. And then baptism, we've always, and now the Holy Spirit's spoken to them. People are really happy in baptism. And we knew it was an offer. We took this thing here on the other way. So we carry on with it, and then it's something to say, it is here. What are you saying? And we look at the congregation, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then God will just hide us, and we'll go with it. And we feel like God is stirring us. And then 2 weeks ago, I said, "Lord, what are you doing?" Father, the Holy Spirit said, "Honor me. Father, I come to honor the Holy Spirit for what he's doing." Amen. That service has been beyond our wildest dreams. And still there's overflow. We're looking at what the Holy Spirit is doing. We're saying, "Lord, you're doing something for us." So, Josh Jenkins, what is God doing? What can you see? And I want to pray for us this morning. If you feel that, "Lord, I want to see what you are doing." You know, what I see is you come to church on a Sunday. What else is, you come to community on Wednesday, Lord, I can see you in that God, I want to see you. And I want to please stand with me. I want to pray. Just like Elisha prayed, God, I want to pray for you. Those who are blind, some direction. But they both land on the edge. just like Elisha prayed, Lord, open their eyes. Open our eyes, Lord, that we can see what you are busy with. We do see with our physical eyes when we look at the news, when we see what's happening in our country, God, and we hear all this rumors, Lord, but we know that this is a seedbed for revival. And we can see that people are disgruntled, and people are moody, and they don't know where to turn to, who would save us. Lord, we've seen